boring book. But look at all the nuggets we found already in this book of Levi, which is what Leviticus stands for. We saw the laws of the offerings in that first seven chapters, and then in chapters 8 through 10 was the law of the priests, where we saw the strange fire being offered up by Nadab and Abihu, and of course, God comparing drinking versus not drinking alcohol to holy and unholy, the only place in the Bible where holy and unholy are together. Then in chapters 11 to 15, the laws of the clean and the unclean and the leprosy, and we saw that beautiful picture of the one bird being dipped in blood of the other bird and being freed. And then last week, the Day of Atonement and the blood, what it means to us. So in chapters 18 through 22, we have the moral laws of Leviticus. And we won't be looking at all of those because, as you know, they don't apply to us because it's the law. But there's some principles in these chapters that we can learn a lot from tonight. We're going to actually look at 18 and 22 because there's two very similar passages about God's plan for Israel regarding separation. So if we could, let's look at chapter 18. We'll look at 24 to 28 to get started, and then we'll also look at chapter 20. So in chapter 18, we'll start at verse 24. God said, where am I, 18? Is it 18:24? Oh, that's Deuteronomy, no wonder. Yeah, it happens. Not Deuteronomy, but Leviticus. Okay, chapter 18 and verse 24. Defile ye not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Now if we could jump over to chapter 20 and verse 22, please. Chapter 20 and verse 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. So tonight I've just entitled the message, Separated. Separated. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of opening your word. Use it in our hearts to teach us tonight about this great principle of Scripture. And I pray, Lord, we would get a hold of it. And Lord, great things would happen in our lives because of it. We trust in the power of your word tonight. May the Holy Spirit use it. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If we could just quickly jump up to chapter 18, verse 3. We didn't read it, but God explaining how he wanted his people, his chosen people, Israel, to be separate from the nations that whose land they were going to occupy, the Canaanite, the land of Canaan. And in verse 3, he says, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. But notice God is teaching them some principles here, and he says, I want you to be different from where you came from and different from where you're going. I want you to be different. I want you to be separate. What can you and I draw from this? Well, we've already seen when we walk through Exodus that Egypt pictures the world and us being delivered from not only sin, but from the world when we get saved. And God says, I want you, you're my child now. I want you to be different from the old days, from the world. You've been pulled out of it now. But I also want you to be different from your current situation. You still live in a wicked place. You still live in a wicked world. And I want you to be different from them. So I want you to be different from your past. And I want you to be different from the world in which you dwell now. And that's what he's saying. I want you to be, don't follow the ways of Egypt. And don't follow the ways of Canaan. Be completely different. And I'm going to give you some very explicit instructions of how I want you to be different, which he did, of course, in primarily Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But God was very specific that he wanted them to be, as we saw, separated. And he even explained in verse 24, in all these things the nations are defiled. What made them defiled? It was sin. It was sinful behavior. And if you walk through the chapters, which we're not going to do, here were the things. Nakedness, homosexuality, adultery, familiar spirits, idolatry. This was 3,500 years ago. Things haven't changed a bit, have they? We look at today, what do we deal with? Nakedness, homosexuality, adultery, idolatry. We can add abortion to the list. But it's still a wicked world. And God said, these things, these sins have made this land, in God's eyes, as a holy God, defiled. And as we'll see as we continue to walk through Scripture, I personally believe if it wasn't for the fact that there are Christians in the world would be in much more serious trouble because it's defiled. It's a mess. It's being run by the God of this world, and it just keeps getting worse, doesn't it? Which the Bible said it would because we're in the last days. But God wanted them to be different. Now, over in chapter 20 where we were, let's go back over there. In verse 23, he says, and you shall not walk in the manners. So notice he mentions the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. Canaan was a gift, wasn't it? God said, this is your land. It was the land that he promised way back to Abraham and then to his descendants. And now they just spent 400 years in Egypt. They've finally been rescued from Egypt. God's about to say, here's the land that you've been waiting for over 400 years. But the land, he said, has been defiled by the nations that are currently there. By the way, this is another proof that if you're going to look at types, Egypt is a type of the world. The desert is a type of the desert. But Canaan is definitely not a type of heaven. Because they had to go and fight for every piece of land that they were given. Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And I know we sing about it all the time in some of our hymns that we're going to go to Canaan, we're going to cross the Jordan into Canaan and all. That's fine. But Canaan cannot represent heaven because we don't have to fight for heaven, do we? Heaven's a gift. But we do have to fight for that land. And we do, as we fight, we do have to push out some of that sinful behavior, don't we? And avoid it and stay away from it. So he goes on to say, which I've cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. That's a strong word. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. That's the promised land. Hallelujah. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Now that word separated, in the Hebrew it means separated. You thought I didn't know Hebrew. But down in verse 26, we have another word coming from the same Hebrew word. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you. Same Hebrew word. Look at that. A little bit of Hebrew there. You impressed? and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. So what is God saying? You're my people. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You're my people. And what does he want from them? Holiness. And to be separate and severed from the wickedness of the world. And that's the same Hebrew word, by the way, if you look at chapter 10, verse 10, which we looked at back when we looked at the alcohol. You probably remember it. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy. Remember that verse, Leviticus 10:10? You see that word difference? Same Hebrew word. So depending on the context, it can be translated into different English words. But that same Hebrew word translated difference, severed and separated. So that gives us a lot of understanding of what that word means in the Hebrew. It's a very powerful word. But God is making it very clear, go to Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verse 6 quickly if you would, that he wants his people to be different, to be separated, to be severed from the nations that they came from and from the nations that currently possess the promised land. Severed, separate, different. Keep those three words in mind. Deuteronomy 7, 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That's a big statement, isn't it? Above all people upon the face of the earth, you are a special people. Not because of your behavior, but because I chose you. Now you and I, we're special, but not because of our behavior, but because God chose us when we trusted Christ. Amen. And we see that in 1 Peter 2:9, if you want to turn there quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And so God is making it very clear what he wants from his chosen, special people. He wants them to be different, separated, and severed from the wickedness of the world. 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation. This is talking about you and me. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants us to be different. He wants us to be separate. Just like he wanted Israel to be different and separate. And how many verses do we know in the New Testament that teach us that very thing? Amen? Romans 12:2, most of you know it. Be not what? Conformed to this world. Be not conformed. In other words, don't let the world shape you. James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? For whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world will be the enemy of God. This is God's New Testament word. Love not the world, 1 John 2:15. Neither the things that are in it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James 1:27, keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And we could go on, couldn't we? But look quickly, if you would, at 2 Peter 2. God uses here the example of Lot. And boy, Lot, there's a lot of lessons in Lot, which we've looked at before. I mean, this man, you don't see anything in the Bible good about him. And yet God refers to him as just Lot and a righteous man. So what a beautiful picture of Christians. And how God said, or the angel said, I can't destroy this city until I pull you out. So a beautiful picture of Christians having to be removed before the wrath of God falls. That's the rapture right there, isn't it? But in talking about him in verse 9 of 2 Peter 2, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, look at this next phrase, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Vexed. He chose to live there. Remember, he was given a choice. And now his family has grown up there, and he and his family were vexed with the filthy conversation, that means behavior, of the wicked. And here God destroyed those cities with fire and brimstone, primarily for homosexuality. That's why some people today still call it sodomy. Where do they get that word? Sodom, the Bible. So he was vexed, as it says here, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. We as Christians, the same could happen to us, couldn't it? God said, the land's defiled. That's why I'm going to vomit them out. Do you think when he looks at our land, he sees defilement? Of course he does. It's all around us. And we have to live in the midst of it. So look at John 17:15, where Jesus was praying for his disciples and for us. And it's a very special part of his prayer here in John 17, verse 15. Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's a balance for us, isn't it? I don't pray, Lord, that you remove them. You know, like some of these cults that want to go off and live in a commune or up on a mountaintop or whatever. I don't pray that. Or even how the exclusive brethren used to be, where basically it was just us and we don't want anybody else to come near us. It's just us. Stay away from us. No, that's not what Jesus prayed for, is it? Lord, don't take them out of the world. Just keep them from the evil. Because the world needs them. The world needs their salt. The world needs their light. The world needs the gospel. And where do we hear the gospel? But from Christians. So don't take them out of the world, but just keep them from the evil. What a beautiful prayer. And then let's see how wicked it is. Look at Ephesians 6:12, where God describes what we have to live in amongst, if you will. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. In other words, we aren't wrestling against other humans, are we? We're not seeing an unsaved person and knock them to the ground and get into a wrestling match because they're one of Satan's children. No, that's not why we're here, is it? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's all spiritual, isn't it? Stuff we can't even see with our eyes. Which is why we can't do it without God, of course. And then another one, Philippians 2, quickly, verse 15, if you would. And so this principle is carried over in the New Testament, is what I'm teaching tonight. That the principle that God wants us separate, severed, and different from the world in which we live. Just like he wanted Israel to be that special people that he chose, he wanted them to be different. He wants the same for his children today in the church age. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Look at this next phrase. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So we have to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. What are we supposed to do? Shine as lights in the world, and then the next verse, what's it say? Holding forth the word of life. As Jesus said, Lord, don't take them out, just keep them from the evil. The world needs them. The world needs us. Amen? And we don't understand God's entire program as far as the restrainer and why he's waited 2,000 years. But we do know that he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Which is why it's that much more important that we be that light, that we share the gospel while being separate and different and severed from this world and its ways. Tough balance to follow. So back to our passage there in Leviticus, 18. He says there in verse 25, the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth with you. There were people that often would convert to Judaism, that would say, God is with Israel. I want to be part of your nation. And they would come in, and they would live with them, and they would agree to abide by Israel's laws. It says, verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. So far tonight, we've only looked at it on a personal level. But God also, when he looks down, sees things on a national level, doesn't he? Because he's talking here about nations. And when God's people forsake God's ways, God forsakes that nation. If you look at history, we can see it repeat itself over and over again. One of the most classic examples would be England, just because they've been around a long time. What, 1,000 years now? Sorry, Claire. All missionaries, pretty much, back in the 1700s, early 1800s, all missionaries came from England. They went literally into the entire world. This was at the same time that they pretty much ruled the whole world with their amazing navy. And now they're a mission field. Now missionaries have to go there when they used to send them all. What happened? Well, just look at what's happened in the past 200 years, how they've slowly but surely turned their back on God's ways. And of course, they cinched it when they turned their back on Israel back in the 40s. That pretty much locked it up for them. That was way back to Genesis chapter 12, wasn't it? I will bless them which bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And I challenge you to go to the UK and try to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. How big is London? How many million? You don't even know?
It's like
8 million people. There might be 2 or 3 solid churches in a city of 8 million people. Countrywide, it's just sad. It's very sad. And what happened? On a national level, they turned their back on God. He turned his back on them. Trust me, New Zealand's heading there really fast. But you and I, we're going to heaven either way. Amen? Things could get worse in the next 10 years if Jesus doesn't come. It could be illegal to be a Christian. We don't know what's going to happen. But we do know this. We're going to heaven. Amen? And what else matters after that? It could get rough. It could get tough. It's okay. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And we're going to heaven. No matter how bad it gets. But what God wants from his children is the same thing he wanted for his chosen people, Israel, and that's that they be those three words: separate, severed, and different from the nations they came out of and the nations that they were supplanting. Be different, he said. Be my special people. Be a testimony. That was his plan for them, that they be a testimony of, look how God blesses a nation whose God is the Lord. It didn't last very long, did it? Before they turned their back on God's laws. And then God had to chastise them instead of use them as a testimony. And that chastisement's still going 3,000 years later. How sad. So God wants his children, no matter who they are, to be separated. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great example from your chosen people, Israel. Lord, you wanted them to be that special shining light among those nations, just like you want each of us to be a shining light among the crooked and perverse nation in which we live. Help us to, Lord, be that shining light, to hold forth the word of life so people can be rescued from their sin and find Christ. But while we do live on this earth and in this crooked and perverse nation in which we find ourselves, Lord, may we not be seduced by the God of this world in these sinful areas. May we stand for our Savior and holiness. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.